From the short tracks to the super speedways, from two wheels to four wheels, it's Revved Up ATX on the Horn with Bobby Chaffee and Rodney Rodriguez. This is where Austin talks racing.
Austin talks racing, and Austin is the hub of motorsports action this weekend. It is Revved Up ATX on the Horn, the first of two episodes of Revved Up ATX that you will get live at Circuit of the Americas from the Echo Park Grand Prix, Expel 225, Pit Boss 250. There's so much going on. Bobby Chaffee, Bobby, your morning, my man.
It's exciting. It's race morning. I mean, everybody that's we get to see all our NASCAR friends. Nice to see them in person, face-to-face, instead of talking to them over the phone and text. So
that's right.
Always a good time when we get to come to Coda.
And, of course, Stu Myrick, Speedway Stu, man of many handles, is here as well. Stu, man, this is always – it's kind of our little rite of passage right here.
It is. This is so – it's so fun to come out to Coda. Doesn't matter what the discipline, but NASCAR just brings a special something to Austin. So great. What a jam-packed weekend between this, the Dell Technologies match play at Austin Country Club, Texas in the Elite Eight.
Boom.
Hook 'em horns.
How about that? How about that? Lots to break down, but we're immediately doing the Vaqueros Cafe and Canteen Hotline in person this time, as the Expel 225 coming up a little bit later on, less than an hour away. They will hit the track. Of course, that is the Craftsman Truck Series. And we have with us here in Studio 6 with us, we have Spencer Boyd. He is the driver of the number 12 Record Rack Chevrolet in the Craftsman Truck Series. Spencer, first of all, I think you've got half the battle because you're here. You're here. Walk us through your journey.
Yeah, it's man, it was a rough one yesterday getting here. Typically, I would come in, you know, on Thursday and had some business meetings Thursday evening and had to take a quick flight out Friday morning and was supposed to take off at 7 and overslept. Alarm didn't go off.
Man, I thought it was a flight problem. I didn't know you were the problem.
It was a personal problem. I'm man enough to admit that.
Nice.
So set my alarm for 4 a.m., accidentally put 4 p.m., so woke up
man,
at 7. And went, wow. So first time that's happened. This is like my 140th NASCAR race, and I was pretty embarrassed to say the least. But then delays and issues, had to fly into San Antonio, ultimately made it here 10 minutes into qualifying, and really disappointed letting my team down like that. But Stephen Parsons, awesome guy. We grew up together. He did a great job jumping in last minute. We're similar size, which is tough. You know, I'm one of the bigger guys. So for him to be able to jump in and then go out there, we had an issue in practice. He got one lap and then go lay down a lap in qualifying. He did a good job and helped my sponsors out, and I'm ready to take the reins today.
Nice.
So, Spencer, good news, bad news. Truck looks great. Outstanding paint job, paint scheme, livery, whatever you want to call it, since we're at Circuit of the
livery,
Americas.
Livery, my man, livery.
Right, livery.
Bringing F1 to
Looks great on TV. Looks great on TV, but you mentioned the issue yesterday. Looked great on TV, but there's a little bit of issue with the fire extinguisher. Tell us about that issue from yesterday.
Yeah, so I wasn't there when that happened in practice. I was obviously hauling the mail to get here and had a pinhole in the oil line. Didn't realize it at the shop type deal. Obviously, we start the trucks and run them and make sure everything's good. And then when it got out on the racetrack, started smoking a little bit from what the guys said. And when it came down pit road, obviously, there's no more, like, forced air, right? So then a fire can really like ignite at that point. So caught on fire. Crew did an amazing job to get an oil line, change it, get the truck filled up. I mean, these 20-minute practices and then 5-minute break till qualifying, that's a lot to ask. I mean, obviously a driver usually just stays in the truck and, you know, you're focused the whole time. So I text Stefan last night. I was like, man, you know, way to keep your head cool and do the job that needed to be done. And the crew worked hard. I mean, our team owner, Tyler Young, was under there, actually burned a hole in his shirt, you know, trying to get the thing ready. So a lot of people don't realize the amount of people and effort and little things that happen that you don't always see throughout the weekend. It was on TV, and they got it fixed up and ready to go.
Hey, Spencer, this track is, you know, we hear it from drivers of all disciplines, F1, IndyCar, of course, NASCAR. What's the biggest challenge for the trucks with this 3.41-mile circuit?
Man, there's this track is really cool.
They're a little bulky.
They're big, right? And trucks, you know, NASCAR in general, especially like Xfinity and truck, they don't really slow down that well. The brakes are not near as good as other disciplines of racing. So when you come here, there's some, you know, high-speed braking zones, right? Mm-hmm. Turn 11, 12, 20. When you look at those, you are asking a lot out of the brakes. You're asking a lot out of your truck to, you know, make a 180-degree turn like that. And these tires, you know, truck wants to get tight, truck wants to wheel hop because you're downshifting. And like I said, with the brakes, you know, your engine braking a lot to help get the truck slowed down and wheel hops, and there's a lot of issues. And I think you saw that in practice and qualifying where some trucks that typically are really good didn't make it out to qualify because they had issues. So that's kind of the unknown when you come to a track like this, and you got drivers that, like myself, you know, aren't super experienced on road courses. Yeah. So I've been out here testing, did a lot of sim work, felt really prepared for this week, and obviously my clock wasn't.
No doubt. Spencer Boyd with us. He will head to the track here momentarily. He's on the track here shortly at noon in the XBEL 225. With that, though, being that you do have to start further back, this track, like a lot, this racetrack different from a lot of others, that there are a lot of passing zones here. It affords you the chance to be able to work your way up a little easier than some of the other spots.
Yeah, track's wide. There's a lot of different lines available. You can outbreak people, you know, get aggressive. Obviously, you know, starting where I'm starting, you're going to have to put your truck in vulnerable situations, but you got to bury some guys quick. You know, first couple laps on a restart, move some people, and you know, take advantage of that restart of everyone being tight together. So weird that this year we don't have stage breaks.
Yeah.
So strategy is going to change up, and track position is going to be really crucial. So I'm excited to get out there. Our guys are like, all right, man, you're pumped up. Don't overdrive the truck. But yeah. We'll get out there. Truck looks awesome. Great cause. Bringing awareness for Medal of Honor Day mm-hmm. next week and Vietnam Memorial Day. So truck looks really cool. Mike Rose is going to be out there. Medal of Honor recipient going across the stage with me at driver intro. So I'm pumped. Really excited. Anytime you can hang out with guys like that, man, you got to consider yourself lucky.
As a veteran, I can applaud that all day long.
And isn't that so much of our sport? I mean, obviously, you know, we like to come, we like to enjoy, we like to do all of this, but our sport is does such a great job with that right there, with the veterans, the military. Makes me proud to be involved with the sport, with their input with that.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR does a great job, motorsports in general, highlighting, you know, veterans and giving us the opportunity to do cool stuff. You know, for me, get to walk across stage all the time, and that's really fun. But to someone that doesn't get to do it, it's like, this is a highlight, you know, of a weekend. So looking forward to going out there and doing the best I can for Record Rack, Deer Feed, and Fort Worth Stockyards Whiskey and Wine, and Mike Rose, he's going to be on the pit box, so maybe he'll make some good calls for me.
Nice. And I believe another event, and then you have something tomorrow as well for our fans here in this area.
Yeah, here in the Austin area, tonight after the Xfinity race, Armadillo Den starting at 7 p.m. I'll be there signing autographs, Austin English playing music. He's a local Texas guy. We're good buddies through the rodeo, and Fort Worth Stockyard Whiskey and Wine is going to be sampling out there. It's a free event. Come hang out, meet me, take some pictures, enjoy some free swag. And then tomorrow, 11 a.m., I'll be at the Tractor Supply signing autographs just outside of Buda. So love the Austin area. Enjoy this town. They always say Austin's weird, and they've been acceptive of me. So I'm excited to be here for the weekend.
The best part is you got Buda right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's perfect pronunciation. That's like 5 miles from my house. So the fact that you got Buda right, that was really good.
We get a lot
good.
Of Buda. It's like, yeah. I'm going to Buda. I'm like, I don't know where that is. But anyway, Spencer, thanks so much, dude. Thanks for taking the time. I know it's race morning, jumping in here with us. Good luck today, man. Looking forward to watching you out on the racetrack.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me, and appreciate what you guys do to keep our sport alive.
You got it, man. Take care. There he goes, Spencer Boyd right there, as he will compete in the XPEL 225. That is one of two races that we have this afternoon, and we are just so excited to be right here. And, of course, we are noon to 2 o'clock tomorrow. We'll take you up to the start of the Cup race. That'll be happening at 2 o'clock. So, diving back in, we wanted to get Spencer right there. When you get an opportunity to get a guy that's about to jump on the racetrack, you absolutely cannot pass that up. Need to thank his PR man, Tom, that was able to put that together. But diving into this, obviously a lot of focus on tomorrow. You know, the Cup race, the NASCAR race, you know, that's what.
But the main event.
The main event. But, you know, it's like, I'm going to the NASCAR race, but the beauty of this with the triple header. And today, I think a casual fan can come today and be satisfied with just today.
Oh,
This is a nice setup that we have here today.
Well, you have all three series running today. You had the qualifying for Cup. The truck series is running. Xfinity series is running. Plus all the different activities. They even have wrestling. Let me correct that. Lucha Libre.
Oh, are they doing that again?
They're doing that and in the Grand Plaza. In fact, one of the wrestlers I call matches for quite a bit, Alejandro Lyon, great female wrestler out of the DFW area. She's supposed to be in part of that. So I may head over there and go see my dear friend Alejandro.
I thought that they were having, what do they call it now, pint-sized?
That's the micro.
I was going to say the other M word.
Yeah, don't say that.
I mean, and there's a series that does that. But, no, apparently they're supposed to have Lucha Libre, which is the Mexican style pro wrestling. At the Grand Plaza here at Circuit of the Americas.
Nice. We can dive into it more tomorrow because tomorrow will be more, you know, for the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix. But Cup Car's qualifying right now, and it looks like Tyler Reddick is at the top of the heap, and he was the one yesterday that was the quickest. Jordan Taylor right there along with Austin Cindric. Y'all's thoughts? I mean, brand new downforce package yesterday. You know, we heard drivers say that they're having to fight the car. That's really the goal of this. That's what NASCAR is wanting to do. They're wanting to make it more of a not so driver friendly car. We've got a session in there. I actually went and looked at the diffuser to look at how all of that works. Bobby, your thoughts on them on track yesterday? To the naked eye, it doesn't look a lot different, but it was massively different.
It really was. When you got to go through the garage, that tiny spoiler for so many years, we're used to this gigantic just plastic spoiler or Lexan on the back of the cars, and this thing's 2 inches tall. It's really, it's barely there, but it's that and the new diffuser and the mud flap deal still kind of blows my mind looking at mud flaps on a Cup car. But I thought yesterday went really well. The practice session seemed to fit. Once the track got dry, it was delayed an hour just because the track got wet from a little bit of shower. But so far, so good. I'm still interested to see how the package is going to work in a pack. Like when they go up on top of turn one and a lot of the passing opportunities they get, especially down the backstretch where they go from, you know, high gear all the way down to first gear for that 90-degree corner. I'm interested to see how the new package shakes out over there. But all in all, I think it's a catch-22. When the drivers are pleased, that means that it's not always going to be the best race because it's too easy.
The drivers have
all said they like the new package because it's harder to drive, which ironically should make for a really good race tomorrow.
And I think that's where with the Cup guys, this is where we have, you know, the Christopher Bells and the Ricky Stenhouse and the Chase Briscoes and all of these guys that like – and that's what folks don't understand. When you talk about loose is a condition, and I can tell you, when you're driving a loose race car, it's not comfortable. I mean, you're on the edge regardless, but you just don't feel like you're in control. But I have to tell you, me personally, I like the looser race car. When you have something that's tight, I mean, when you go into the corner and that thing just wants to yank itself down, it's just, to me, it's a worse feeling. And I really think that that's where we see some of the guys that maybe like the tight race car, that this is where they're struggling. You know, what do we see tomorrow? I don't really know, because like Bobby said, let's get them in a pack, and that's when we'll have a better idea. But I think what's going to be interesting tomorrow is, like Spencer was talking about with passing zones, you've got long straightaways. This track is going to throw everything at them in a package that they really don't know what to expect.
Well, and that's one of the things, you know, again, and I got this from some of the drivers. We hear that a lot, no matter what the discipline, where it's NASCAR, WEC, F1, IMSA. This track has so many different elements to it. The elevation changes, the turns. You know, the S's, it's so hilly coming off of turn, say, 13, coming through around the tower through 18 and 19. And it's going to be interesting to see with this new package how those drivers are going to meet those challenges on this track tomorrow. Well, and today with the trucks and the Xfinity.
And I've had a lot of folks that ask, and we'll get to Xfinity and truck, because obviously that's today. But it's like, why change the package? I mean, why are they doing it? Why are they modifying it?
They needed it.
They needed to. And that was the thing. When this car came into fruition last year, we expected, just from past experiences, a mile and a half to be maybe the one, maybe the races that weren't going to be as good. And those wound up being good. And the short tracks and the road courses where the previous car, where the number six car, Gen 6 car was, those struggled. I mean, the race here last year, I mean, you had passing, the finish was great, but if you go back and look at it, the finish kind of supersedes everything else. And that's what you get a lot of times where you have a race like that with an ending that it takes some of the other stuff away. But for them to do this, I think we see this more in Martinsville, Richmond. I think that's where this package is really going to play itself out a little more, because here you got right and left. I want to see it on a short track.
Well, we'll have an opportunity next week with Richmond, but it will be fun today or I guess technically tomorrow. Well, fun today because the Truck Series, there's only so many ways you can push a gigantic rectangle box through the wind. So that's what makes the truck race itself. The truck race will, at the end, get a little spread out. But at the beginning, when they're all running together, beating and banging like a short track, that's what makes the truck race so much fun. But back to the Cup Series with the new downforce package, it will be it's one of those to where the way that the drivers respond is going to be one thing, but the way that they did it, I don't know if I still think they're going to need a third package where you're going to need one. Four, really. You need the Super Speedway package, then you need the mile and a half package, then you need the mild Dovers and Phoenixes and stuff like that, then you need a road course package, and then you'll need a short track package. It's just the nature of the way NASCAR was. That's the way every car has been for the last two or three generations. I'm not anticipating this next-gen car being any different as we move along with the single-source parts. It's still going to have different packages to fine-tune for the different races.
And I'm glad you mentioned the single-source part. And Mark Garrow will join us tomorrow, which is our new Sunday tradition when we're at COTA. Mark Garrow from PRN, he'll be in at noon with us when we fire off. But I really want to see a focus. I get it. You have to improve the package right there and all of that and make it more the entertainment value. I mean, you want a good race. But what I really want to see them hone in on, the single source part and the modification of these parts, that's something that's really becoming – and again, we don't know. I mean, you know, the teams are going to say whatever they're going to say. I for those of you that don't know, there was, $400,000 worth of fines and driver points and owner's points to Hendrick Motorsports a couple of weeks back, and that was – you know, big news and just with all of that, because they apparently modified one of the single source parts. And somebody did ask me last week, when y'all say single source, what do you mean? What that is, every part on that car comes from each one from a single source. You know, you can't go out and shop around and try to find five different manufacturers. It's got to be one. And those parts are provided. They're provided. You don't go get them. And the teams are taking it upon themselves to tweak them because they're not fitting. And I think that's where – that is a gray area right there. I mean, because I'm going to make it fit as good as possible to benefit me, to benefit my team. I don't know how you control that. I don't know how you police that. I don't know what you put in place. Do you set up a spot where, hey, this louver, I need it shaved down. I mean, I don't know what, but they really need to hone in on that one before that one gets blown out of control.
I think it's a QC issue, a quality control issue with the single source suppliers. And I think that for those people that the cars, the previous generation cars were pretty identical as it was. There were teams that just had it more fine-tuned. We're talking, you know, lengths of fingernails and extension, hair extension widths and stuff like that as far as like how close the cars were. Now, it is literally single source parts. Everybody buys from the same vendor. It's all made by the same chassis manufacturer. The bodies are from the same manufacturer. The hood louvers are from the same manufacturer. What I think it is some of these smaller parts are the smaller parts are really good because you got your tolerance, some of your toe links and stuff like that. That's pretty easy to see. Ball joints, all that. That's pretty easy to see. These hood louvers, I think because you have such a massive amount of need for them, the quality control for the hood louvers is not there. You talk about policing it. $100,000 fine a car, that's the easiest way to police it right there. Take away 100 points, take away $100,000 per car. That's one way to police it. I guess the next team that has it not going to fit is going to be on the phone to NASCAR saying, hey, this is not fitting right. I'm not going to touch it because I can't afford a $100,000 fine.
And I think that's what NASCAR does well, that when they set a precedent, they do follow through. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, the thing with Hendrick, I mean, I saw folks talking with Josh Williams last week. It's like, I think I even said it, where his career's done. I mean, he's done. They're going to get him out of here. You find Hendrick $400,000, Stu, that, to me, that's a pretty damn stomp of the foot saying, we are not going to allow this. I don't care if it's RFK. I don't care who it is. This is the rule.
Well, and especially you're finding one of your, you know, let's just say it, one of your front-runner teams.
Absolutely.
Hendrick, that kind of coin, that's gonna make an impression on them to know, okay, we have to follow this rule. We can't push this thing either way. So
yeah, everybody's equal. I mean, that's the goal, and cost savings. It's funny with this multi-million dollar sport. It's like we talk about cost savings, but I do want to talk about here. I'll do it later. I was talking Xfinity, Xfinity is in a position where they've made some changes with that car, maybe going down the wrong road in a lot of people's opinions, but we'll talk about that later.
One lug nut in Xfinity series ain't going to work.
That ain't going to work on there, and it sure ain't going to work on those trucks. When we come back, we will discuss the XPEL 225 for the trucks. We'll break that down, go through the lineup. You got some cuppers in that one, and then we'll go to the Pit Boss 250 for the Xfinity cars and get you set for that one as well. You got a cupper on the pole of that one. You guys can talk about what y'all did yesterday with that guy on the pole, all of that and more. We're live at Circuit of the Americas. It's Revved Up ATX on the horn.
In high school and all of my senior year.
Good music. On the case. Crew chief, I'll tell you, man. It's like you just drop a couple of words right there and Ty Henderson is taking care of it. Ty, let me ask you, brother. Got to ask you, man. Thoughts on the game last night, dude? This is we're sitting on a rocket ship right here with this Texas Longhorn basketball team.
Man, yeah, they got the championship energy is the two words that could best describe last night in my mind. You know, you get that feeling around some of these teams that when they get close to in the playoffs, close to a championship, and I'm kind of getting that feeling with this team right now. They just got everything going their way.
They must be drinking that Four Loko.
No, hopefully they're staying away from the Four Loko.
Right.
By the way, quick correction. You heard the commercial before. Texas did beat Xavier, 83-71. They're the highest seed right now in the tournament. All four number one seeds are out. So Texas will play Miami. Tip-off is at 4:05 p.m. Central. We will be on with pregame at 3:30 p.m. Central with Craig Way and Eddie Oren. You can hear that not only on the horn but also on Coke FM.
That's right. Texas on a roll, looking to keep it going tomorrow. We are live at Circuit of the Americas. Stu Myrick, Bobby Chaffee, Rodney Rodriguez, Ty Henderson back at the Horn Studios, live here at COTA. Cup cars on the racetrack. You may be able to hear the hum of that sweet-sounding car as it goes by, and I'll go back to that, man. I just love the sound of this race car. It just sounds like open headers, and you stand next to that thing, and you feel it throughout your body. I was down there yesterday, and they were like revving. They revved one of those things up, and it's like, oh, my goodness. I mean, you get chills. I mean, it like hurt my ears. And it takes a lot to hurt my ears because I can't hear a damn thing. But, my goodness, this car, it's just so throaty. I just love this car.
It does have a unique sound to it. When I was rolling the pits myself yesterday, they were doing some kind of test with Denny Hamlin's fuel system. It had a little bit of an issue. Like, you could tell it wasn't pounding on all eight cylinders.
Don't make him mad again.
But it had just a little bit of a rough idle, even at trying to rev it up, and they were putting some fuel in it, so... but even at that, full song, you know, with a little bit of issue, maybe trying to iron out some little gremlins, man, that thing just sounded great.
Yeah, yeah, very, very sweet machine. Guys, XPEL 225 coming up. Ross Chastain on the pole. You guys were a part. They did a really cool thing here.
They did.
You know, Chastain wins last year. And the whole thing is, what I like about the whole Chastain story with the watermelons, it's not a made-up, you know, made-for-TV, made-for-print thing. It is very genuine, man. That was so cool what y'all were a part
of yesterday. Yeah, his family, of course, you know, watermelon growers.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Ross Chastain, who got his first cup win last year, right here at Circuit of the Americas. So this year he carried on the celebration from a little higher elevation. He dropped watermelons from the top of the 251-foot COTA Tower, which, you know, if you've been up there, I went up there years ago back when the X Games was here.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, number one, a beautiful view up there, but you can see It is a long drop, and he dropped those things. There was one, they had this tarp on the ground that was the target.
Mm-hmm.
One of those watermelons hit so hard, it cut a gash into the tarp.
Man.
I mean, and these things, and of course, watermelon hits the pavement. It obliterates. It turns into nothing. I saw a couple pieces shoot all the way down to where we were, you know, right below where we were standing. It was a lot of fun to watch that. Of course, Clint Boyer was up there with him doing the thing for Fox. We got to visit with him a little bit afterwards. He even signed watermelons and gave those out with some hats to some lucky fans that were there to witness the event.
It was one of those things where at first you're like, man, this is going to be kind of dumb. This might be kind of stupid. But it was actually really entertaining.
That was my thought.
The problem is that what made it drag on was the studio stuff with Fox.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they practiced 4 or 5 times trying to get the perfect throw over the edge to try to get it set up for TV. You'll see it tomorrow during pre-race. Probably there on the Fox Sports on Fox Sports on Channel 7 here locally. But once they finally dropped that, but it was, I think he did, what, four regular
ones?
Well,
he did 3 for us.
Yeah,
and then he had the one for Fox, and it was so funny. He went had to go at least 7 minutes where he would lean out, had the watermelon in his hand, and then pull it back.
Oh, my goodness.
And then lean out, and then pull it back. And you hear Boyer, let's do it, and he lean out, and pull it back again. It was driving us nuts.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. It was like, drop this thing already.
And that really is a great, I don't know who came up with that. Whoever did needs a raise. Because one of the things with this racetrack is obviously that tower. I mean, the observation deck over there, that's something. I mean, it's so cool flying over this place because you look and boom, there it is. But, I mean, to do that right there, and that's what we have watched here all weekend is the presentation here is just once again spot on. I mean, I like to say that this is kind of like a county fair. I mean, because you come over here, you've got the main event on the track. But, I mean, we touched on it earlier. I mean, the fan zone and all of that. But doing stuff like that, and again, I think I got messages yesterday from fans that were out here. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I can't believe the accessibility of the drivers. And I really think that's what sets NASCAR apart, and it works great here in Austin.
Well, and that's one of the biggest things. I have been lucky enough. I've covered several different series here, whether it's Formula One, WEC, IndyCar, IMSA, and I will tell you now, NASCAR brings out they bring everything out. The fans get to come in. They get to see the drivers, the cars, and not to mention all the stuff they have around it. And that's what has been great about racing at COTA has mm-hmm. been all the different things that fans can get involved in, whether it's music, it's the events in the Grand Plaza, it's everything. This is fast becoming one of the best racing attractions around when they come out to Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah.
One of the things we were talking about it yesterday is that it's starting to feel like home, which is weird because obviously, we call it a home track because it's right in the backyard. But what they were talking about in the gist of the conversation was we were talking about how it's starting to feel normal now. The county fair aspect of it, if you will. The Lucha Libre stuff, the Ferris wheel, the spinner, puke 4000 that they've got over there in the fan zone that spins like
the
five
spider
different
or
ways,
whatever they have.
The accessibility, even our friend Jacqueline Drake, who's been on the show before, came in from North Carolina to do the driver Q&As over in the fan zone in the different manufacturer areas. So it's found its place on the calendar, I feel like. As we were talking, we don't remember if it was a 3-year deal or a 5-year deal where SMI leased COTA from the powers that be from Circuit of the Americas. But hopefully this race is here to stay. Beautiful weather, no issues with weather. A little humid yesterday, but hopefully this has found a good spot on the schedule. I don't see it leaving because it's a world-class facility racing with the number one racing series in North America. I don't see how you could take that away.
Right. And we got to give a shout-out to our friend Tierra Newbaum as well. I'm telling you guys, it's not going to be long. She's going to hit the racing circuit, man.
Yeah.
That's a talented young lady. But and I really like it because, I mean, just the not that COTA was ever gone. Maybe times were a little hard at one point, with state funding and all that.
Well, it happened in 2015, the Formula One U.S. Grand Prix,
right,
when the rains came and, almost everything got washed out.
Look at all that Chick-fil-A.
Oh, there we go. But, yeah, and there was a lot of talk about would they get the money from the state main event fund. Well, now this has become and it's kind of funny because ran into the same thing with another event that's happening this weekend with the Dell Technologies Match Play, World Golf Championships, because the PGA is reinventing their schedule and they don't feel like a match play tournament is part of their schedule anymore. So this is the final year that match play comes to the Austin Country Club, whereas here, and we hear it, drivers loves it, the Speedway Motorsports folks love it. The fans certainly love it. I can't imagine that they won't, just sign this thing for another extension for at least another 3-4 years.
And I think the timing of all of the SMI, when SMI puts their hands on something, it's usually going to work out well. I mean, we're seeing it with North Wilkesboro, and it's a lot of smart people that are in tune with every aspect of this. But I think the timing of this, we love Texas Motor Speedway. I mean, we work with them. Hell, they're here. They're here. They're a part of this. But the timing of this coming on the schedule with maybe some of the struggles there, I think has just been, I mean, you couldn't script it any better, because it was, okay, let's liven up that product somehow without reconfiguring or whatever may or may not happen there. Let's do something different. Well, they came, 250 miles down the road, and they're doing something very different, and it's working. I see no reason this goes away.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This is, again, it's a world-class facility. We hear the drivers, no matter what discipline, they love this track.
Yep.
And that's and it's same with the NASCAR drivers. They love this track. They love the challenges and everything. So I gotta believe this is going to become a regular stop every year on the Cup schedule.
It really is. I mean, because just with the we've watched the schedule evolve so much. I mean, all the road courses not used to that. I mean, I'm from the day of two, maybe three at the most, but now very road course heavy. It conducive to this car, very much so. It brings out guys like Jordan Taylor. I mean, we've got two F1 world champions in this. I mean, but we can dig into that tomorrow. But so this race today, you got Ross Chastain. You got the Watermelon Man on the pole right there. He wins the pole. Kyle Busch is in this race. But the thing about it is, those are going to be the names that are going to jump out to you. Ty Majeski sitting right there. I watched him run an incredible super late model race last Sunday. He's there. This is a loaded field. This is a loaded field. And Spencer was just talking about, these trucks are not the easiest ones to get around this racetrack. Y'all's thoughts, who can dethrone the big two, we can call them?
Man, that's going to be interesting. Bobby, well, who you got?
I think Christian Eckes is the one that's got the biggest chance. He was really hot in practice, up at the top of the boards on a couple of the practice sessions there before qualifying hit. But I think that just because normally if you said Kyle Busch is in the race, it's going to be a Kyle Busch benefit race.
Yeah.
Him and Chastain are going to put on a show for a little bit, but it's the guys like Majeski was kind of – he was good in practice, but to qualify third was actually really good. Nick Sanchez continues to impress there in fourth as the most highest qualified rookie. But you got Christian Eckes in there, Carson Hocevar, Zane Smith starts seventh. He's the defending winner of the race. So they, that team's going for a three-peat with two different drivers. So it's anybody there. And then look at 14th, our buddy Logan Bearden.
Amazing. That kid right there, I mean, we've watched him just for so long. And there's an interview up at hornfm.com. All of our content is right there. One of those, I believe, is with Logan Bearden. If not, I'll find it. I don't know where it is. But just with him, very skilled at road course racing, very skilled at oval track racing, driving there for AM Racing. And, again, that's where you get a story like that. And I hope some of the other media outlets are running with that, because it's like, check this out. We've got one of our guys from just north of Austin, Leander, and here he is in the major leagues of NASCAR racing. He doesn't drive that truck every week. This is a one-off deal that he and his family put together. He was talking about that, where he's like, I want to throw my hat into this one. He works for AM Racing. I'm going to throw my hat in, and they put the funding together to get it done. And he qualified 14th. In this pack of 36 trucks. That's impressive.
That's not bad. I want to ask you guys, because you guys follow this closer than I do, but I seem to recall a few years ago, there was a lot of talk about, Cup drivers pulling away from Xfinity and truck. And now it feels like we're seeing them come back with Kyle Busch, with Ross Chastain. Do y'all see drivers entering multiple series within NASCAR again as a popular thing to do?
Well, part of it is that they don't get any owner's points when they have the Cup drivers come in and the trucks and the Xfinity cars. So that deters having – that's why you hear the term all-star car a lot with some of the bigger teams. But the thing that surprised me the most is that a lot of it's just track time. There is nothing comparable between a Cup car and a truck. There's nothing comparable between a Cup car and an Xfinity car. what it is just reps on the racetrack. That's all it's for. And you get a chance to see it more so. The surprising number of guys that are actually pulling double duty was really kind of a surprise. You got guys pulling double duty with the trucks and the Xfinity cars. The thing that surprised me, I didn't realize that the Spire Motorsports number 7 truck and Alex Bowman, D&Q,
didn't make the race.
Yeah, didn't even make the race.
Yeah, he had a problem yesterday, so he didn't make the race. So that's a big – and again, that's where NASCAR, no provisionals, none of that stuff anymore. There's no past champions, I won't mention drivers' names, where it's like, hey, so-and-so didn't make the race. Well, we're going to put him in. Promoter's option, they used to call it. But now with the Cup car, you know, nothing like anything that's on the track today with the sequential shifter and everything. I mean, not night and day, but Bobby is spot on right there. In a race like this, it is all about timing. It's all, you have to be sharp. Something that I noticed yesterday as I was walking through the pits, I would look inside the dash of these cars, and most of them have a map of this place because you get so turned around as you're driving around out here. You obviously never lose track of where you are, but you can get kind of dumbfounded a little bit. But having the Cup folks in, and I'll tell you why I like it now, it's because, like Bobby was saying, it used to be a given. It was a given that if you had a Cupper that jumped into one of these two, they're going to win. That's not the case anymore, because with the trucks and with the Xfinity, you've got guys that are, I mean, there are folks on the starting grid of the two races today that are just as good as the folks on that Sunday grid. And that tells you the quality of driver, the quality of team. And with NASCAR trying to balance all of this out, and I'll talk about the Xfinity conversation I had a little bit later on, but I think it's welcomed. And I think now the truck drivers and the Xfinity drivers, they welcome them in. They want to race the best.
Well, they do, but I think that the counterpoint, your point, AJ Allmendinger is on the pole for the Xfinity race.
Well,
defending race winner, moved back up to the Cup Series.
Sure.
That's probably going to be an AJ Allmendinger benefit race.
Could be.
But he's a good guy, right? He doesn't win them all. That's why you won't hear the fan uproar if he ends up winning.
Yeah, and that's totally good. I mean, he's a fan favorite here. And, I mean, a lot of that, I know a lot of this is sponsorship and marketing. That's the big, you know, the elephant in the room right there. If, you know, Johnny's Auto Parts says, hey, I want Stu Myrick in the car for Coda, and they're giving millions of dollars, Stu's going to be in the car.
God help him. Look, I've done – now, I got lucky years and years ago when Weck was here. I rode in an Aston Martin with Bruno Senna, the nephew of –
I thought you were going to say Bruno Sammartino.
Not Bruno Sammartino. Bruno Senna, who is the nephew of the late, great Ayrton Senna, the F1 legend. And I got to ride 3 laps with him when they were here for WEC, and riding these laps, and you know, you talk about some of those corners, taking those corners at high speeds, you know, it can be a little, you know, like, oh my God, you know. And one of the things they told us, it was last year, I believe, they took us on a tour of the track, and the, like, when you come up to the corners, they have the braking signs. Now in F1, there it's 150 meters, 100 meters, 50 meters. They had to change that because it's NASCAR, so I think it's like just 3-2-1, you know. But it's things like that that is going to make, like you mentioned, those corners. You mentioned the passing zones. That's what's going to make all weekend today and tomorrow so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
I think it will. By the way, breaking news: William Byron on the pole for the Cup race tomorrow. Top 10. On there you had Tyler Reddick second, who was the fastest in practice yesterday. So William Byron, Tyler Reddick, Austin Cindric, Jordan Taylor, the sleeper, the ringer. We'll talk about him a lot tomorrow. Suarez, Allmendinger, the first 3 rows for tomorrow's race. So that's qualifying wrapped up here today. So, but, yeah, I think that the way that the whole thing works is you have to make it work for NASCAR. That's why they have the subtle changes. NASCAR is not Formula One, and people have to realize that. And you see it when the difference in the presentations between what SMI brings when NASCAR is here versus what everybody else brings when Formula One is here.
Absolutely. And William Byron, my God, he is having great beginning of the season.
And you know what? And I was noticing yesterday, so they were out when they had the practice session. I was walking through the garage area. He sat with his team, and they were debriefing for probably 30 minutes. I would walk by, and he's just sitting there. Everybody with a laptop in front of him. They have obviously hit on something because he'll go from the pole, and that's Jordan Taylor, yeah. We'll in our preview tomorrow from noon to two, we'll break all of these guys down and really dig into that. Something I'm looking forward to for our listeners tomorrow, Stu, is to that sound from Jenson Button. Because what Bobby's talking about, the differences between F1 and NASCAR, just he broke it down as clear as I've ever heard it broken down.
Well, and I will tell you now, we'll have it from both Jenson Button and Kimi Raikkonen, who won the 2018 F1 U.S. Grand Prix here at COTA.
That's right.
He talked about the very same thing, so I'm going to have both of those tomorrow.
Yep, good stuff. That's from noon to 2 tomorrow, Sunday. Turn it on in the car. Turn it on in the app. We'll get you to the racetrack, get you ready for that Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix. Next, we'll dive into the Xfinity lineup, talk about who may be some of the sleepers there, and get you ready for race day, Saturday race day. We're live from Circuit of the Americas. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. We're live local digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
When friends come for Saturday night, man, it's not to make up some sangria wine. It's organic and it comes from the vine. It's also legal and it gets you so high. Yeah, I love that sangria.
How about sums up NASCAR weekend at COTA right there?
Yeah.
There you go.
Man. Talladega. But yeah. It's getting closer. The campground's pretty full this weekend.
I've been told that this place is really cranks it up. Really cranks it up. I got an invite from a friend to head over to Lot N. She said, come after dark. I'm like, what are we doing here? what's going on over here?
Hello.
He's like, come after dark over here to the barbecue cook-off.
Coda after dark.
You won't regret it. I'm like, uh-oh. That could be good or bad. You know, last woman told me that. I married her, for crying out loud. So, I don't know. XPEL 225, Pit Boss 250 coming up. Reminder tomorrow, 12 to 2. Get to the track with us, Revved Up ATX, Stu, Bobby, Rodney. Ty is back at the studio. He'll be there tomorrow as well. Thank you, Ty, for doing that as well. To the folks at 4 Loco, they've been working with us throughout the week. Had a conversation with Ryan Ellis the other day, and he hasn't driven a cup car. He's driven this new cup car. He's driven in cup, but not with this variation of the car. And I was asking him, because I've been told, I mean, Dale Jr. has mentioned, a lot of guys have mentioned that the Xfinity car is actually the perfect car. Between the horsepower, the drivability, whatever, that the Xfinity is the perfect car. They went in and modified that thing this year where they took out, they did a rear end housing change, and they went out and they took some of the skew, well, they took all of the skew out of this car, which is when you see the car coming at you, it looks like it's kind of running sideways. All of that is gone, so you are straight. Ryan Ellis tells me, he's like, this car is horrible to drive. He said, I loved it before. The drivability was amazing. The throttle response. He said, now going to straight line, it's horrible. I hate it. So, ever evolving. Ever evolving. I was singing the praises of the Xfinity car. He's like, dude, it ain't that great. I don't know.
Well, what did they change? They changed the rear truck arms to make it different.
Yeah.
So which is changing the way of driving. And then there's the talk of the single lug nut.
No,
I don't want to see a single lug nut on a Xfinity Series car. I don't think that's going to work.
I don't know.
On a 15-inch wheel? I don't see how that center lug is going to hold up.
Yeah, no. I don't think that will happen. And I mean, I like the variation. I mean, now you've got the next-gen car. You've got the car that apparently isn't as great as it used to be. And then you got a dadgum truck. I mean, I think you're good.
Do you think because as with a lot of things in life, is it just the fact that it's brand new and you got to get used to it, or are they really not a fan of these changes?
I think it's all about the drivability. I mean, because what it does, it restricts the drivability of the car, and then you can have a car like the new car where the drivability is horrible, depending who you ask.
Yeah.
Places for races, pretty easy.
Pretty easy. Park it on FS1 today, starting at high noon. And then just stick with it all day. You have the truck race and the Xfinity race tomorrow, 12:30. Network Fox kicks off the coverage if you can't make it out of your line.
XPEL 225 coming up for the NASCAR Craftsman Trucks. Pit Boss 250 presented by USA Today for the Xfinity Series. A little bit later on, we are back here 12 to 2 tomorrow to get you ready for the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix live from Circuit of the Americas. Stu Myrick, Bobby Chaffee, Ty Henderson, Rodney Rodriguez. Have a great day, everybody. We'll catch you Sunday for NASCAR Racing at COTA.